Would you turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 6 again? Today we're going to focus on verses 10 through 14. Today in our series on deception, we are in part 4. In part 2 of our series on deception, we focused on deception that causes us to compromise our biblical convictions. And it's pretty clear that that has been happening in a lot of churches, unfortunately, in this nation. We're all in agreement on that, right? In part 3 of our series, last week, we focused on deception that comes through slander. Now, the enemy uses slander to try to manipulate us and cause us to fall to temptation to defend ourselves against the slander. In part 4 of our series today, we are going to focus on deception that comes through threats. And that can cause us to fear. Threat, the idea for the enemy to bring threats on us is to try to get us to walk in fear. And it should be obvious to us why he wants to do that. Because fear is the polar opposite of faith. And anything that is not born of faith is sin. Am I telling you the truth? Isn't that what the Word of God tells us? All right. So, we're going to read Nehemiah 6, verses 10 through 14 now. One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut in his home. He said, "Let us meet in the house of God, inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you." But I said, "Should a man like me run away? Or should one like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go." I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this. And then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, oh my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who have been trying to intimidate me. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. There is not one word in the Word of God that was not put in there through your purpose and to fulfill your purpose. And so, Lord, as we look into your Word today, pray that our hearts would be open and receptive and our minds as well. We just pray, Lord God, that today we'll be changed and further down that road of consecration, Lord, that we will glean wisdom about how the enemy works through deception to manipulate us and cause us to miss your best for us. So, Lord, our eyes are on you, and we're attuned to your word. And I pray, Lord, that as I bring this message, that you would put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words you've ordained for this morning, Lord, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So threats, what they're ultimately saying to Nehemiah was, "Oh, come with us. We'll protect your life because you're threatened. You're threatened." Did you ever have someone that came to you with this kind of a proposition, if you will, and as time went by, and you let them into your inner circle, and as time went by, you had so many knives in your back that there wasn't room for any more? Have you ever had that happen? We need to be discerning. Shemaiah, a hireling prophet, devised a clever plan for trapping Nehemiah. He shut himself up in his house and gave the impression that, like Nehemiah, his life was in danger. When Nehemiah came to see him, Shemaiah suggested that they both take refuge in the temple, where the enemy couldn't reach them. His words were very threatening. He said, "They are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come and kill you." Since he had access to the temple, it's possible that Shemaiah was of priestly descent. But even this didn't influence Nehemiah's decision. He quickly detected the hoax and let it be known that he was not about to run away in the face of danger. In the first place, he was not that kind of leader. "Should such a man as I flee?" he asked. He had previously said, "I cannot come down," when they wanted him to come down. And now he declared, "I will not go in." Nehemiah was a true shepherd and not a hireling like Shemaiah. If he had run away and hidden in the temple, it would have ruined his reputation forever. Now, Nehemiah, as a true shepherd, was not a hireling. John 10, verses 11 through 13. I want to look at what, together with you, at what Jesus had to say was a good shepherd. And he was speaking of himself. John 10, verses 11 through 13. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Nehemiah rejected Shemaiah's proposal because it was contrary to the law of Moses. It was forbidden for a layman to go beyond the altar of burnt offering at the temple. "The outsider who comes near shall be put to death," it tells us in Numbers 18, verse 7. So, what we're looking at here is Nehemiah being a good shepherd and the enemy trying to sway the shepherd. Nehemiah is steadfast. But what do we see today in our culture from this deception? Our government threatens that if you say anything political from the pulpit, we'll take your 501c3. Okay, take it. You don't have to be a 501c3 to be a church in this country. I don't know how many of you realize that. We are a 501c3. Okay, tax exempt. But you don't have to be a church. And not only that, the government don't have as much power as they think they do. We have an all-powerful God. And people are forgetting that today. We have an all-powerful God, and nothing happens that doesn't go past God first. Amen. And he's our daddy. And those of you who are parents, you want to see a daddy get mad, one that's a true daddy, you do something to their child. You do something to their grandchild. I'm just telling you straight. You want to see the ugly come out of me? You hurt one of my children or grandchildren. You'll see the ugly come out of me again. I guarantee you. Because that's what a father does. He defends his family. It's what a shepherd does. He defends his family. We have countless shepherds in this country today that are not shepherds. They're pastoring churches, but were never called. It's a job to them. And they're not defending the flock. They're not preaching the word of God for what it says. It's how you end up with pride flags hanging on the outside of churches, and they're proud of them. It's how it happens, because the one that is supposed to be the shepherd is a hireling, and instead of preaching the word of God for what it says, they abandon the truth of the word of God and thereby abandon their flock. And this is what we see, that through threats they were trying to do to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was steadfast. We need to learn to follow. This is an example. This is very relevant. There are threats everywhere. Our government is using threats to control us every day. Our government is not turning tyrannical. It is tyrannical. A couple of years ago, roughly, there was an outbreak, a pushback of people that were going to school board meetings and objecting before the school boards to what was being taught in our schools and what was allowed in school libraries and what was being assigned for assigned reading. And how did our government react? Parents that loved their children and said no to this kind of activity were declared to be domestic terrorists. How many of you remember? And yet today, when you take a stand, you're called a domestic terrorist. No. We are asserting our rights as Americans, our God-given rights, and we are asserting our rights according to our Constitution. We have a right to do those things. But threats come and try to cause us to fear, to go hide in the basement. Seem to remember a guy 3.5 years ago hiding in his basement. We've done a lot of hiding since. So, did I say that? Are you seeing this? We need to be privy to how the enemy works so that we can take a stand. I've been for months, maybe years, encouraging you to stand up and speak up for what is right. Yes?
Yes?
Isn't that true? You've been around here for a while. Stand up and speak up. Freedom of speech. We have that right. They're trying to take it away. They can only take it away if we let them. They can't take what we don't let them take. We can thwart what the enemy is trying to do through our government to bring this nation down through prayer. Speak up to the Lord and speak up to anyone who will listen. Don't allow the lies of the enemy to smother you. Speak the truth. Speaking the truth in love will dispel the lies. It'll expose them. The lies of the enemy will fall powerless. We're living in a day where there's just all kinds of areas. I could spend the next 25 minutes, which is the rest of our time, a lot of time. We try to get done by 11 here. It's not set in stone. We've had some services that have gone well beyond that before over the years, because when the Holy Ghost is moving, we're committed to letting Him have His way. But typically, we try to wrap up by about 11. I could spend the rest of the time talking about the different threats that the enemies are using to control the people in this nation and in the world. It's a whole world agenda, guys. It's not just our nation, but we live in this nation. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life. He's the only one that could do that, that is going to do that to save lost humanity. But we as leaders need to be willing to sacrifice everything for the truth of the Word of God. We need to be willing to do that, to risk everything. Are we really willing to risk everything? It's not as easy as it sounds. Peter, for example, told Jesus he was ready to follow him. And then when he was taken away, he denied him 3 times. His intentions were good. But when the heat came up in the kitchen, things changed. He wasn't as strong as he thought he was. How will we do in that situation? When persecution comes in a big way in this nation, will we stand for Christ? I hope so. Will we? Will you? The enemy is hoping that we're weak. And we can be weak in our body, but strong in our spirit. The enemy wants to get us to the place where we are weak in spirit as well, filling us full of all kinds of propaganda and lies. Walking in fear because this threat has come and that threat has come. An acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. The enemy uses a lot of false evidence that appears real to us to inflict fear on us. When King Uzziah tried to invade the holy precincts, God afflicted him with leprosy. In 2 Chronicles 26, verses 16 through 21, 2 Chronicles 26, verses 16 through 21, it says, but after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah, the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord, followed him in. They confronted him and said, it is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord God. Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, became angry. While he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died, He lived in a separate house, leprous and excluded from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the Lord. Now, the reason I took us to that is because they were trying to get Nehemiah to do something that was a violation to God. They were trying to get him to go into the temple, into the holy place, and he would surely be stricken dead. And that's why I took you to this passage, so you see what can happen when, under the old covenant, when people would get out of alignment, get out of position, and were not where they were supposed to be. Nehemiah knew that Shemaiah was a false prophet because the message he delivered was contrary to the word of God. Guys, listen closely when something is spoken, especially when a person says it's from the Lord. Make sure it does not violate or oppose the word of God. Okay? Rule number one in discernment. Rule number one. Make sure it does not oppose Scripture. If it opposes Scripture, pay no attention to it. Yet another reason we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. Years ago, tellers at banks, when they were new tellers, they would put them in a room, from what I understand, and they would handle money all the time. They would do it for hours. They would handle money. Why? Because after they had handled the authentic thing so much, if they had a counterfeit bill go through their fingers, they would identify it immediately because they so knew the feel of real money. When we study the Word of God, study the Word of God to show ourselves approved, we are honing ourselves, if you will. And when the Word of God is hidden in our hearts and something is spoken as being from the Lord and is off because we are so full of the authentic, we will recognize the counterfeit immediately. See, in our culture, the temptation would be to study the counterfeit. How do you identify the counterfeit? Well, if you know the authentic, you'll identify the counterfeit in a split second. Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 5. Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 5. It says, if a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder of which he has spoken takes place, and he said, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. That prophet or dreamer must be put to death, because he preached rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. He has tried to turn you from the way of the Lord your God. He has tried to turn you from the way the Lord your God commanded you to follow. You must purge the evil from among you. And then Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22. Says, but a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. I don't know how many of you have ever had God speak to you in that way, but it started with me the day after I gave my life to Christ. And I for the first few years thought, well, geez, this is the way it is for all believers, but I've come to find out over the decades that it's not that way for all believers. I don't know why God has done that to me, but he has. And I'm not a prophet. I don't claim to be a prophet. But God speaks to me from time to time. And I know when he speaks to me. I shouldn't shock us, because he's our shepherd. And he said, my sheep know my voice. So that shouldn't shock us. But I have also experienced the devil speaking to me. See, I want you to understand something. It's really awesome and scary to hear the voice of the Lord like that. It's very humbling and very scary. Especially if you revere him. But if you're going to hear that voice, then from time to time the enemy comes as an angel of light and counterfeits God's voice. And it's very important for us to be able to identify between the two. Years ago, after my dad had a bad stroke and was in Iowa City, my siblings and I did a lot of running for a long time. Started in Iowa City, then he was moved to Genesis West, and we were taking mom back and forth every day, taking turns, and it was a lot of hubbub. But I was down 4th Street, turned up on the ramp on the South Bridge, and was going up toward the South Bridge. Shortly after Dad had been moved, it may have even been my first trip down there after they had moved Dad down to Genesis West. And I was going up, like I say, going up toward the bridge, and I felt a horrible, horrible, horrible presence of evil. It was just all around me. And I was in my vehicle. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw something like passenger side window of my car. And I turned and I looked. And it was the devil himself. And he spoke. And he said, I'm going to kill your dad. And when I'm done with him, I'm going to kill you. Now, you can either believe that or not believe it. I don't care. I got nothing to gain or lose here. I'm telling you the truth. And I remember looking into the ugly face of the devil as this was going on and saying, "You have no control of my life." Jesus determines when I die, not you. And then I went on my way and the evil left. And why did I tell you that? Because I want you to understand the enemy is a liar. But I also want you to understand sometimes he tells you what he's going to do. He has made attempts on my life several times since that time. Several times. I've talked to you about the different things. When I was in that research project with Sartori in Iowa City, in the research project. And, I mean, there have been many. I got shot at in Africa, and by all rights, I should have been coming home in a box because the guy that shot at me shot at my head and was 6 feet from me. But God. And now I'm in another battle. Satan keeps trying. But he's not in charge of my life. Satan is not in charge of your life if you're in Christ. Because there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The enemy wants us to feel condemned. He wants us beat down, downtrodden, and he brings the threats. Threat after threat. He threatened me. "I'm going to kill your dad, and when I'm done with him, I'm going to kill you." It was a lie. What's the Word of God say? Jesus said, "The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give life, life to the full, or life more abundant," whatever translation you're reading. That's what the Word of God has to say. So when the enemy speaks curses over you, we cancel those curses. When he speaks those threats, we cancel those threats by speaking the truth of the Word of God. The enemy did the same stuff to Jesus immediately after he was baptized. The Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tempted, right? And the enemy took three shots at him right there. He tried the pride of life. He tried the lust for more. He was using all his tools. And what did Jesus do? He responded with the Word. That's what I'm telling you. When the threats come, stand on the Word. The Word, the Word, the Word. In other words, what does Scripture say? The enemy is relentless, and he hates us. We might as well figure it out. The enemy hates you, and he hates me. Because we are created in the image of God. We're created in the image of God, and he hates God, so he hates us. So what does Scripture say? It says in Romans 4:3, must be the test of any message. Even if that message comes from somebody who claims to be one of God's servants. You wouldn't believe in over 40 years how many times at churches I've had people come to me with a word that I knew was right out of the enemy's mouth. And it happened right in church. We've got to be discerning. Guard your heart, Jesus said, for out of it flows the wellspring of life. The enemy wants to stop up that wellspring of life that God desires to flow through us. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. It says that in Isaiah 8:20. If you're taking notes, Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. God is light. Phos. The Greek is phos. God is light. When you're full of Christ, you can't help but have the light of God shine through your cracks. You might be looking at me thinking, why did he say cracks? Because we are all crackpots. That's okay, because God's light shines through the cracks when we're full of him. Nehemiah 6:14 indicates that there was a conspiracy against Nehemiah among the prophets. Gee, can you believe it? It's happening right in the church there. What did I just tell you? Now, I don't want us to be paranoid of every single person we meet. That's not what God's called us to be. So please, don't become paranoid because of this message. But be wise. Be discerning. Discern things. We must learn to discern things and thereby guard our hearts. When we identify it, something that has been spoken over us came from Satan, we just don't receive it. Just don't receive it. Guard your heart. Just don't receive it. So the prophetess named Noadiah was involved in that as well. This created a lot of pressure for Nehemiah because the Jews had great respect for their prophets. Nehemiah was outnumbered, yet he stood his ground. He was a layman opposed by a body of professionals, yet he refused to give in. You've got to love that guy. Right? He prayed about them and left the matter with the Lord. In verses 9 and 14 of Nehemiah 6, we have the 5th and 6th of Nehemiah's telegraph prayers that he sent to the Lord in times of crisis. Verse 9, that prayer was, "But I prayed, now strengthen my hands." He was praying, "Strengthen my hands for the work can't stop." And in verse 14, said, "Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who have been trying to intimidate me." We have got to learn to pray those kind of prayers. And we can pray those kind of prayers directed over our government people all the way from the top down. We're told to pray for our leaders. I think that includes the bad ones. We pray they get removed. Right? I've been praying that for a while. So, of course, behind this brief intermittent prayers was a life of prayer that gave them strength. We see these short prayers and think, wow, there wasn't much to that. No, these were small parts of a life of prayer. Guys, if all of the praying we do is the praying we do by ourselves, or the praying we do at church, see, we're told in the Word of God to pray without ceasing. And boy, on the surface, when we look at that, we think, well, how in the world can we do that? It's about being in an attitude of prayer throughout our lives. When we're driving down the road, we're communing with the Lord. When we're working on something that is kind of mindless, we're meditating on the Lord. Just living a life in Christ. Whatever we're doing. Now, when I'm talking about that, living our lives that way, you're not driving around with your eyes closed, right? See, we don't have to pray with our eyes closed either. I pray a lot with my eyes open. First of all, I don't want to miss it if God shows me something in the physical. You know what I'm saying? So, no fear. Don't let threats bring fear into your life. Those threats are a deception to try to cause us to fear so that we don't get the best of what God has for us. God has a wonderful plan for our lives. Plan to give us hope and a future. Never forget that. And never forget that God is in control of your life. If you're a born-again believer, He's in control of your life. If you have put your life in His hands, He's got this. Amen?
Amen.
Can we stand together? First of all, is there anyone here today that would say, I'd like to make a commitment to Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? I've never done that. Is there anyone today? If there is, slip your hand up. All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, for the instruction that is there. And Lord, I pray that today our eyes have been opened to the reality of another way that the enemy works to try to trip us up through threats. And we pray, Lord, as we now have had the seed of your word sown in our hearts and the truth thereof, that, Lord, we are enlightened and that we are weapons in God's arsenal as we leave this place, and that we are bearers of the truth of your word, and that we are directed by your Holy Spirit. Lord, go before us and let your glory be our rear guard as we leave this place and go into our mission field. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.